Morning. You know what? I really love to go fishing. Some people really don't understand why fishing is fun, but to me, there are a few things more exciting and thrilling than seeing your bobber get pulled under. You wait, and you wait, with hope and expectation, and then suddenly, wham! The fish hits the line, it takes off. Your heart speeds up, your muscles tense, as you get ready to jerk the line at just the right moment to set the hook. At that moment, you either feel a great jolt of joy as you feel the weight of the fish fighting you, or disappointment that it got away. If you hooked it, you reel it in with your heart thundering and your friends yelling encouragement until you reel that monster in and victory is yours. If you lost it, you cast out your line again, determined to get him next time, but willing to wait for that next bite, that next thrill and adrenaline rush. I really never get tired of seeing that bobber get pulled under. There is, however, something far more important and indeed far more exciting that holds our attention a quarter as much as that bobber holds the fisherman's. And that is the gospel message. What could be more important and what could be more exciting? 2 Timothy 4:8. There is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. That's really wonderful and exciting news. Yet, looking out, I don't see many people smiling. I don't see anyone jumping up and down for joy like my wife did the first time I took her fishing and she caught a fish. Why is that? Well, some of you might quip that many of us are German Lutherans. And that certainly might explain why we're not jumping up and down for joy. Nor do we need to. But it doesn't explain why so often we are indifferent to the message of the gospel. The truth there is that by nature, our flesh is indifferent and apathetic and takes things for granted. Just how fickle our flesh is shown by the comparison that we have a hard time paying attention for 8 minutes. But the fisherman can watch the bobber with great interest for 2 hours or more. What are we to do? Well, thank and praise the Lord for the times when our hearts do burn within us. When we do feel a great rush of comfort, peace, and joy, knowing our sins are forgiven and heaven's doors are open. But when that isn't the case, we need to pray for the strengthening power of the Spirit so that we might work hard at appreciating the message. That's right. We need to work hard in study, and in listening. We can't be passive listeners. When you go to lunch today, Ethel might put the food on your plate, but she's not going to feed you. I can put God's word before you, your other chapel speakers can, and your pastor can, but he can't make you eat. We need the power of the Spirit working in us to appreciate the gospel message. So let us now work hard to appreciate the great message in our text. The Lord is going to give to us the crown of righteousness. Why a crown? Well, it's a symbol of glory and honor, of power and prestige, of majesty and splendor. Which one of you hasn't dreamed at one time or another of being a king or a queen? Yet it's no mere fantasy, because in Christ we are all royalty. In his exaltation, God exalted his Son above all things, putting everything under his feet, and crowned him with glory and honor. And we, his children, will also be crowned with glory and honor, with power and dominion. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, we will judge the world. But now, why is it a crown of righteousness? To our sinful flesh, that might sound like some kind of award for being a goody two-shoes. Like, you're a perfect saint-like person who always does what's right, never has any fun. To the world and our sinful flesh, who, for whom seeking after pleasure, joy, and entertainment is God, righteousness does not sound like something desirable. It sounds rather dull and boring. But there is nothing further from the truth. We will never be happier than when in heaven we are given true righteousness. And there is no greater comfort for us now than knowing that Christ's righteousness was imputed to us on the cross. Our sins and shortcomings placed on Him, and His holy status before God given to us. So that we no longer stand under the wrath of God, which is terrible to behold, but under His great love. And thus know that one day we will rule with Christ. These imperishable bodies, which are incapable of true joy and true entertainment and true enjoyment, changed to the imperishable, filled with true comfort and peace and joy and righteousness. And we will live and reign with our Lord forevermore. May the Lord ever help us to appreciate the gospel message. Amen. Let's conclude with singing hymn 341.